captain at Bennington. We were testing the 3rd Division, remember? At the division. I was commanding the aviation company in the division. That was the initial division level aviation company in the Army. That was my introduction to this business of spaces and organization, and it was a real eye-opener because after 2 years of that testing, I had to go to Konark and work with the people who were handling spaces as well as organization in those days on the finalization of FTONE. That was the most illuminating experience I ever had because it interested me in organization. And by and large, you know, most people really don't get into nuts and bolts on organization unless they're forced to do it.
Sure.
See? But I took a liking to it then, and just to show you how things come back, that was in, I left there in 56 to go to Leavenworth. I left there as a captain, and I was promoted right after I got to Leavenworth, and after instructing Leavenworth, after being a student, they assigned me there in combat developments. I was assigned there in combat developments, and lo and behold, they assigned me the Combined Arms Committee as the armor-aviation man and said, you will also be the organization man on all of our field army studies. So I spent the rest of my tour at Leavenworth working in combat developments and specializing in organization. And so through the years, I've been very interested in it. And I don't consider it the dull subject that a lot of people think it is. Because I've learned that if a commander doesn't know the details of his organization, he may not necessarily know how to do his job. See?
This is one of the biggest problems we run into, sir. We find that so many installations and or activities end in failure to perform more effectively and or efficiently. They come in on poor shortage of funds and or items and so on, when in most instances we find it's really a fact of not knowing how to manage or how to organize and set up and line up a job.
Well, you either want more money or more people.
More money or more people. And these are normally not a problem.
Well, I'm not going to give you a briefing this morning because I was very happy to hear that you all would just as soon not get a lot of briefings since you have done your homework before you came. But I have forced something on this command here that I think it should have had from the beginning. And I want to start off by asking you if you've got any questions about what is now our 06 organization, or the one which we're approaching very rapidly now. Because I've also recognized that when General Westmoreland put out his Modern Volunteer Army message, that by and large, all he was doing was telling all commanders to do what I've tried to do all my life in the military. Well, when I got here and found what I call the fragmented organization that existed, I couldn't understand how in the world a man could have good morale, know who he was working for, and all of these things that are related to people. And I'm going to show you how I saw it when I got here. I know it's a review of what you've seen. But everywhere you see HS on those bottom blocks, what that means is that part of those units was at both posts. Yeah. Now, obviously the school mission has had to be performed at both posts because Hunter couldn't do it all. But what I found was that there would be men at Stuart who not only were being commanded at Hunter, but their records were here. Personnel management was impossible. They didn't know who their commander was. the commander's open door policy, even if it were effective, the man would have had difficulty finding out who his commander was. So I said, how in the world can you expect to develop unit esprit and morale in a school with that kind of organization? Well, there were several other considerations. One, we knew that fixed wing was going to start phasing down. We knew that the VNAP was projected to phase down starting soon after I got here. So with these phase downs, I saw that we were going to start a cycle or a series of reorganizations demanded by the phase down. So rather than just go through these things, one other thing had happened. We almost immediately got this requirement for the Mideast. And I learned that it was impossible to develop a series of impact statements resulting from contingency requirements. Why? Because everything was organized horizontally to such a degree that it would have taken a computer to determine what was the impact of pulling a unit down in a school to a certain level. So what I wanted to do was get the units packaged so that they could do their job as a unit, not as a composite organization, which means that to me, when you're a composite organization that is made up of maybe two or three elements with nobody in command, I can't point the finger of responsibility at anybody, and that's the way we were, in effect, before. So what I did was, after the guidance that I put out, we wound up with this. And what we did, in effect, was eliminate this one department right there, which is the Department of Airfield Support, which was one of those that permeated every organization. But there was no element that you now see spread out. You see that if you look at the blue, there, Department of Airfield Support is in the blue. Okay, then we split it up, and we wound up like this. But you see, not any one of these blue elements that you now see of the Department of Airfield Support could do anything for any one of the other departments. In other words, it wasn't a case of accomplishing more efficiency by centralization. Because you take the World Army Wing Troop Commander, that blue stripe worked only in the older days for Department of Tactics, and that was down at Rucker, and we're calling it Rotary Wing Troop Command because that's all it is, Rotary Wing. The same was true of Fixed Wing. That blue element up there of the Department of Airfield Support is essentially that at Wright Army Airfield. It's always worked for Fixed Wing, but it was commanded by a man up here. Well, I flew into Wright one day and found some things wrong. And every time I'd say, well, now, what's the problem? They'd say, well, that the man who's responsible for that's at Hunter. Well, this is just, and you can see how that could happen in four different places. So that was the essential element, that DAS, that drifted out. And now I can look at these 06s here, and I know that he's responsible for everything he does. And of course, when we started, as you pointed out earlier, everybody said, oh, but it will take more people and more equipment. I said, gentlemen, you're already doing the job. Why is it going to take more? Well, actually, it reduced the number of people because we had a number of tentacles out that had been developed, I felt, to fill gaps. But because this command had been excess so long, it didn't show up that they had to be efficient. They just developed another box and hinged it on. But we eliminated all those because, of course, we were getting down to strength anyway. So you can see that essentially other than cutting the lines that ran between Hunter and Stewart. I call them lines of irresponsibility. And eliminating that DAS. That's where we're headed. Of course, it did one other thing, too. I told them in the guidance that I wanted them to start realigning those elements that would remain as the school phased out, even to the point of the school phasing out. So as an example, in this school support brigade, this element right here will be here even after the school closes. It, in effect, is what we call the airfield operating detachment. It would be a part of the caretaker element. It would be smaller than what it is now. But we've already, in other words, identified that part of the school support brigade here that would remain as an entity even when the school has practically closed down.
That's the airfield detachment, right?
That's right. That's right. That's it. Now, there's an interesting thing, and it was major. When I got here, I had a deputy post commander here, and I had a school brigade commander, as you saw it before. Well, because of the problems between Stewart and Hunter that relate to post support, all I found was a lot of bickering between the school and the support. In fact, it was so bad that things were not being done very well. And all it was personality, so I said, boy, I'm going to straighten this out. So I said, okay, from now on, in this organization that we developed, I said, the school support brigade commander will also be the deputy post commander, Hunter. And you will remember that we had the problems before of how to man Hunter post, recognizing that the staff is down there at Stewart. Yeah. Well, we were able to do it much better because the school brigade has a staff. So all we did was take the few people that we had, still identified for the post, and we integrated them with this staff. And that could be done as long as one man commanded the thing, see? We saved a few spaces there as a result of putting those two things together, you see. And I might add, all of the problems between the school and the post disappeared by having one man responsible for both, you see.
This people begin to talk to one another.
Exactly. Well, I tell you, the school assistant deputy commandant was very leery of this. He said, well, I think the school's liable to be slighted. And I said, well, now, wait a minute. I said, I rate you. You work for me. This man works for you. The school is essentially what Hunter is right now. I will endorse this man. Now, I said, how in the world can a school be slighted? I'm the deputy commandant. I'm responsible for the school. But I said, the way it is now, I've got another appendage out here who was a deputy post commander. He doesn't have a staff to speak of. He's got a few people that they'll loan him from Stewart. He doesn't really have any capabilities, so what he has to do is call on the assistant deputy commandant for help from the school, which is true of any tenant organization, see? But he rarely got it because this man felt that the support should be provided him without providing anything from his own hide, see? Well, this was a major improvement. And other than continuing to scale down, as you've seen in our Schedule X, as a result of the reduction in the program phased down in the VNAP, there essentially isn't too much difference from what you saw, I guess, in 68. Well, that was to cover. I wanted to give you this myself because when I asked people to give me recommendations on what they felt should be done to clean up these lines of responsibility and make the environment much better for moving into the modern volunteer army, I couldn't get any constructive comments because they dug in their heels and wanted to ride with what they had, which was a period of plenty. This maintenance brigade here was almost 100% overstrength last winter. Well, they pulled, obviously, aircraft mechanics out of there and had aircraft mechanics all over both posts doing everything, which was fine when we were even having trouble housing people. In fact, we had single low-ranking troops living off post, if you can imagine. And they got, I'd say, infested with this disease, like cancer, and they weren't about to forget that that day was over, that we were moving into a period of austerity in manpower as well as money, and we had to become more efficient, and I don't know of any better way to become efficient than to define responsibility better. At least that's the starting point. And that's what we've been doing now for about 5 months. We started this reorganization in October, and we will complete it 13 February, which is, that coincides with a couple of things. For example, we will at that time move all but one company of the 2nd Maintenance Battalion from Evans Army Heliport here, because we will have shrunk down the brigade, the aircraft maintenance brigade, to the point where we will have shifted aircraft, which means we've got to shift the people, and we're going to have to move them back here. Well, I call that philosophy, but I want you all to understand it so that when you get any remarks you might get from the people within the command, I don't know how low at the moment people are imbued with the reasons for this reorganization, because we're still in a number of the lower elements undergoing the results of the change. And I think by and large, morale has improved. I know that the 06s who are involved are happier, because now they're responsible for their whole operation. For the first time in a school, and I go to Rucker and I get gray hairs, I told General Burdett the other day, when I see how fragmented Rucker is, I wonder how in the world you can ever pinpoint responsibility. Well, I don't know when you were there last.
67, John? No, 66.
Well, they're undergoing a reorganization now.
Right, I understand you.
And I was over there the other day, and because they wanted to talk to me about what we were doing, and I explained it to them. And basically, I think they're headed in the right direction now. And that is to eliminate the duplication they've always had, unnecessary overlap and duplication between their school brigade and their various operations. And that's the way they're headed. They're even predicting now that even with the same number of people, well, same authorization, they're going to be able to reduce their spaces. Well, that's the way we ought to be headed, I think. Well, with that, do you all have any questions about any aspect that I can discuss with you?
No, sir. I think most of the finance would be with the staff, because, as you know, the state elections were put in, and you eliminated some here, and what we're going to do today is to get those together and marry them up, because
right.
Audience makes them one part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lay on a complete, what I call a cook tour of them.
Yes.
The Rotary Wing Command, the
Right
Wing Command, and the Maintenance Brigade for the next 3 days.
That's good.
So actually this week we'll be looking.
Yes.
To be quite frank, sir, our hands in many cases are tied at this time on reorganization. I mean, we have no authority at this time to recommend a reorganization.
Mm-hmm.
However, we get the information to go to headquarters.
Yes.
So this was a pleasure. And before we do, shall we say, I don't know if we'll go to headquarters or they'll come down here, but we'll certainly keep the gentleman informed. Either yourself personally or your deputy, if it would be desired. It's a new, and to read the paperwork, it's hard to visualize.
Yeah.
Because it is different.
Yes.
Completely from staffing. Jonathan has been a long time.
Well, I figured if anybody could understand it, Mr. Rogers could, because I went through the 68 report in detail, and I'm glad that you are going to look at it the way you are. No, thank you.
Oh, yes, sir.
Because it...
Well, we have to, in all fairness, sir. to completely go through and check the whole thing out, and I'd say probably complete, you know, before we even come up with a...
It will be. Actually, the problem we're up against, and really this is very simple, the normal basic Army organizational course for Class 1 station activities and operations is based on the elimination of duplications in organization.
Mm-hmm.
This brings into a single line the organization. And what we've done here is the reverse of that. We have duplicated basically the organization in order to eliminate duplication in command. I mean, this is just the cross from this event. I don't know whether the people at CONARC, at VA, and so on are ready for this change in concept in organization. This is a complete change.
Well, you're saying that they won't understand the elimination of the Department of Airfield Support, because that's all we've done.
Well, we don't know, sir. This is completely new, see, and this is something we're going to look into in detail.
It's a
different concept. They really don't know, I don't think, at higher headquarters, the change that has been made. I'm not so sure how much you've briefed the headquarters on the thing about CONARC now. Recommended changes.
There have only been a couple people down here from individual training, and quite frankly, they were amazed that we could fragment like this without needing more people.
Yeah.
Well, kept pointing out, well, look. My guidance to the people was that we would reorganize without requiring any more people. Because when I went around and looked at each of these elements, I felt they were manned on paper, to do the job that they had to do. And if reorganization had come up with a requirement for all kinds of additional people, you wouldn't be looking at it now, because I wouldn't have bought it. My guidance to them was that I can foresee that we can do this job better, but without more people. As a matter of fact, when we really spread the boxes out, I said, well, there's no reason for this box, because it can be done by this outfit over here. But you see, by having organized the way they did, it was taking more people to supervise. For example, if I'm going to be here and I'm going to command units down there, then down there I need some more boxes for supervisory purposes. That's right. Well, if I turn the working box down there over to a man who's already there, which is what we did with Rotary Wing, then I can eliminate that box of supervisors, and that's where we saved all the spaces, you see, what we saved. And, Cobra, the only attack helicopter training in the Army, it was being commanded by a man down at Stewart. It's here. So in order to get from DOI here, Director of Instruction, to Cobra, he had to go through the man at Stewart. Now, you can't tell me that anything like this is truly acceptable unless somebody doesn't understand school organization. And I mean, they've confused school organization with something else, because you still have to be responsive.
This was my point just a moment ago, that in case of misunderstanding, actually. We all have to turn by ourselves, of course, we might have to look and evaluate and understand. But of course, a station is given a mission. And then from that level on, everything is oriented toward the functional aspect. For example, the G3 has everything to do with training. The training is a hard thing. The G4 has the supply. So everything comes along the functional line. This means that everybody gets his finger in the pot, as you say, and the only man that does have an actual overall authority and responsibility is the post commander. Is the man doing. Whereas what you've done here is to segregate these things out rather than from the functional line toward a mission-oriented line. You have one unit with its composite capabilities, the mission, period.
Yes,
This is the change in concept.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hadn't thought. That's exactly
it's
right.
It's a change in the normal school concept.
This
you
is
say
just,
is reference to staffing guide, and this is why say we're going to have to look at it in detail and then explain it to the high headquarters.
I was shocked when I first looked at it.
I was too.
This gives us duplication. No, this is going to be costly because we've got four troop commanders.
Yes.
But four troop commanders. And this is true. From an organizational standpoint, this is four troop commands, and this is duplication. This is contrary to the normal Army aspect of one troop command and this functional aspect of it. Whereas otherwise, I'm not so sure it's so bad because it's along a missionary line, and this is just different from anything the Army's ever done before.
Well, I told our people, actually, and you may recommend it later just for appearance sake, every one of these things can be called a department. It may be that you don't change a thing, really. All we've really done is eliminate one department if we were to change the titles for departments. And it may be because
for the supporting type functions and so on, it's placed them under responsibility rather than of a support commander under the responsibility of the operating official for that mission responsibility.
See, there's one other aspect now. I'm glad you mentioned that. We had overlap and duplication because we had a school brigade, which was a support brigade. That's why I named this thing this time, school support brigade. We saved some of these faces also by eliminating unnecessary overlap and duplication between the school support brigade and Department of Airfield Support. See? That wasn't even illuminated until we got into this business of reorganizing. The fact that we had these places where there was unnecessary overlap, you see. And I hadn't thought about it before. It may appear that to the people above, it's probably simplified to them if these things are all called departments. Now, I'll tell you another reason why I wanted them to be called commands. I read in the Chief of Staff's weekly summary, about the time we were doing this, that all organizations other than TONE had to look to their organization to see what jobs are being done, which in fact are command jobs, for which the man should get credit. In peacetime, this is what it was slanted towards. See? Okay. And I said, well, if I clean up this business of responsibility so that a school department director, in fact, is a commander, then in every way I can justify why that 06 should get credit for command in that slot. See? Well, that's why I attacked the command, because I could have covered this with a facade of department directors, just like they were before, and the only change would have been then the elimination of DAS. But that's, to me, in line with what we need to do for the future. And that's what I told General Burdett the other day. I said, you know, look at the number of senior people you tie up in a school. Well, by and large, they get credit for a school assignment, but in a peacetime environment where you're going to have few commands, if that man does have the responsibility for something besides when the students get in the classroom and how well they're taught, I said, he is going to be able to get constructive credit for a command. I'll give you an example. My Rotary Wing Troop Command. This man had the Department of Advanced Helicopter Tactics before we made this shift. Well, I needed a man down there in the old Department of Tactics who knew what we were doing in the field, who could take on the troops of the Department of Airfield Support and get them organized. Well, the 267th Battalion is a good example. The 267th Battalion at Stuart in the old organization was under the school brigade here. Well, that's the outfit that has my rifle company, has my artillery battery, and had a couple airfield support companies. Well, the morale and discipline of that outfit were real tenuous. Got a good commander there, but he never saw his people. It was like having a headquarters battalion, in effect. He never saw his people. He was working for a man who was up here, who was covered up with so many things with the rest of the brigade that he couldn't really offer the kind of supervision the man needed. Well, that 267th Battalion, which had a primary mission of supporting Department of Tactics in the field, is now assigned to that Rotary Wing Troop Commander, right there. He looks to that rotary wing troop command, and I might add, since that 267th has a battalion staff, we didn't have to form a staff for this rotary wing troop commander.
You did that.
We used the Department of Tactics staff because of the type of organization it is. It doesn't need a 1-2-3-4 type staff. The battalion already has that, you see. So although we made that man a troop commander, he didn't have to pick up a staff and flesh this thing out like he would in a normal 06 level command, you see. I want you to know, now this started, we did that first in October. Reenlistments had picked up. The AWOL and DR rate has gone down in that battalion. And morale is just all the difference in the world. And I say only one reason. Now those men down there know if they want to go and talk to a full colonel, he's right there. He's not up here sitting in an office at Hunter. And you know, Hunter to the people at Stewart's, it's like being in another world, and it's vice versa. It's only 40 miles. But most people who think that maybe they could do something if they went down there, drove down there, they more than likely decide that they'll do it some other way and they don't go. Well, I'm glad you're here at this time because I think it'll be a good test of the validity of our reorganization, and I'm not in concrete so much that we can't make changes with it. That's why I wanted to give you the main issues as I saw them, and recognizing that we may have some holes that we still haven't covered on this. And I think it's good that right at this time we have somebody from outside the organization take a good hard look at it.
Well, I can assure you, sir, we'll take a good look at it before we come up to the recommendation. Just to go down and blindly say, this is right, this is wrong, we've got to look at it. And this is the way the law was operated.
Well, I
will look at it in detail. I got a pretty good feeling.
Well, how many people do you have with you?
Sir, I have 9 coming, so myself and a major. Now, the major is brand new, and he's not going to win. Well, at the end of the survey, we're going to serve the IG, certain activities to get him used to it, and then we're going to send him to school.
Good. Well, this is a good learning session.
Yes, sir. All of the civilians and military except Mr. Rogers, John's in about 4.5 years, and all the rest are retired.
Is that right?
Lieutenant Colonel, yes, sir. I got a W-4 former, AG, 2 retired Lieutenant Colonels and 2 retired men.
Outstanding. Well, that helps you.
Been longer, 22 years, 23, 24 years of service.
Well, if they've been in the normal experiences that most people have, they'll understand.
Oh, yes, sir. One is artillery, one is infantry, 2 are armor. Because I'm infantry, basically.
Well, you got a combined arms team, that.
Yes, sir.
To include your civil service employees.
That's right.
You know, that's another thing I've been doing here. I'm people-oriented and always have been. One of the first things I did was start ensuring that our civilians knew that they were just as much members of the team as people in uniform. And I found the usual schism that so often has existed between civil service and the military. And I slammed a few people up against the wall, mostly Army Green, and made them realize that you can't function. Here we are trying to bring the reserve components on the team fully, and a lot of people in their minds haven't even brought their civilians, who are the hardcore. Well, I'd set out to do that, and I've been working hard on that, and I think we've accomplished something. Now, if the Department of the Army doesn't pull the rug out from under me and drop my civilians as well as the rest of the people through the trap door, we're in pretty good shape. I'm now, and this is, I think, indicative. When I go out to my 2 posts now, I will have civilians stop me and talk and suggest things. To me, I say, this means the channels of communication are opening. And they know that I'm accessible. Well, as an example, probably more concrete than anything you see. You'll remember this. You look out the front door here, and you'll see, when you look down towards my main gate past the flagpole, it looks like the Champs-Élysées. If you're coming in the other way through the main gate, the first thing you see is the flag. We removed all the trees that were blocking that view all the way down through there. You know how that came about? I walked out right about noon one day. I don't go home for lunch very often, but I was home that day. And here were three of my civilians working around the area where I live. And I stopped and spoke to them. It was a beautiful day. And this one said, "Sir," he said, "can I mention something to you?" And I said, "Yes." And he says, "You know, over on the Stevenson Gate entry," he says, "you know all those trees there between the flagpole and the gate?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "For years, a number of us have wanted to remove those trees so that when a person comes through the gate, the first thing he sees is the flag." And he went on. I said, "You know, you've got an excellent idea." I was so impressed by the fact that here was one of my Department of the Army civilians thinking of the flag the way I think of it. See? Well, I came right then when I came up. I came up and I went out to the gate and I looked back, and he was right. Those trees just completely clouded this thing. So I got a hold of a post engineer, post commander, and I said, "Okay, I want the trees out. I don't care what you do with them, I want the trees out." And I said, "After you get through, I'll tell you why." Well, the post engineer came in here several days later and said, "Okay, the first tree's going out today, and we'll get one tree a week." I said, "Bill, you're out of your mind. What do you mean, one tree a week?" He said, "Well, the way we're programmed up, it's going to take that long to do it right." I said, "I've just never heard such inefficient things in all my life." I said, "You don't even know the capabilities of your troops." Well, I said, "Let's go out there and look." We went out the front door. Every tree was gone. Now, as I live and breathe, they were all gone. And he nearly dropped in. He said, "They just started this morning." I said, "Bill, I told you, you don't know your troops. When you respond to a suggestion of one of your people, they're not going to drag their feet on it once you say go." And then I told him, I said, "Okay, now I'll tell you." I said, "Your men on the grounds division have been wanting those trees out for years." I said, "All somebody had to do was say, get them out." Well, you know, you don't need very many little incidents like that to convince people that you're responsive. And now when you come in that gate, the first thing you see is that flagpole and that flag, you see. Well, we've tried to do a lot of this, and I just hope that we don't lose any more of our civilians, because we're down to what I call the hard, hard core. By the way,
sure isn't good.
Yeah, sure. As I pointed out here, or I didn't point it out, we've had very little reduction in our support force, because by and large, even though we've reduced our student load, we still operate all the facilities. For example, the things required to train the students, by and large, most of them you can't eliminate until you eliminate the school or the kind of training that we're doing. So although we've reduced the students' classes, for example, the VNAP class has gone roughly to 50%, we've really been strapped to try and eliminate facilities as long as we've got to do the kind of training we do. See, for example, stage fields. Stage fields pretty well determine a lot of the support required. We haven't been able to eliminate any barracks, so our support force has not been able to vary at all. And of course, what's clouded the issue is that we've been so far under strength on our civilians over what have been recognized in the past, that spaces have almost become an unknown factor on the support force side. We've been so long trying to come up to what we were recognized and authorized to have.
And it doesn't look like it's going to get any better either for the foreign civilians.
I don't see any help. This is why I've told people that all we can do is learn to be more efficient with what we've got. And then when we can't do any better that way, I've already had big meetings with the wives. And I've told them, If you don't like the support that you're getting, the service, please come forward. But I said, be advised that we may not be able to improve the support without your help. But I said, now we may be inefficient, so we'll look at each of these areas. And by and large, we've done that. We've had to reorganize the attitude of our medical support in a couple places. But I told them, we're going to need more volunteer hours from the women in the support area. Mm. Because otherwise, we're not going to be able to.
Is this a remote area, sir, as far as hospitals are concerned? I think it is.
Yes, yes, right. Yes.
Yeah. Small hospital, yes.
This is especially true of Fort Stewart.
Right, I know who it is.
Yeah. And our Manning was the same. My wife right now is in the hospital down at Memorial because we don't have the capabilities of Tuttle in the urology area, so she's down there.
My wife was in some operation, took 6 months to get, you know, to get it scheduled. 6 months,
yeah.
From there.
Yeah.
It wasn't that.
Now, you see, if you want to press them, they'll give you a non-availability slip, and you mm-hmm. can go off post-it.
Right.
But, of course, you never recoup the cost. So you either wait, like you did, procedure just a series of tests my wife's doing. She had an operation a while back here at Tuttle, and all the operation did, fortunately, was uncover other problems, which you have to look into. But even with all of the emphasis on maintaining the high level of medical support, you know, we didn't get cut in the medical area recently. We still don't have the capabilities that are required in modern medicine in a lot of areas. It's because we're limited to the doctors.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad to have you here.
Okay,
and, now, you're going to be here
how long? We figured 5 to 6 weeks here in Huntington. And then,
Four or five weeks.
Now, because interimly, we'll be going back and forth, too, yes. Because Father's commander's here, and Father's over there, and,
yes.
For instance, when you go to do the early wing, the Father's early wing troop command,
yes.
It's in both places.
Yes. Well, now, are you all set up billet-wise?
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
You're all
fine.
Taken care of. How about the rest of your troops? Are they in a good shape?
Oh, yes, sir. Five of them have their own camper trailers.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, they're used to this. Huh?
Yeah, they're used to it.
Well, where are they set up?
Biltmore Gardens, travel trailer.
Yeah.
Camp. This is the Airstream Vila now.
Oh, yeah.
17.
Where are you?
I'm down there. I've got a 25-foot car, so we
Is that right?
About two years ago, we started getting some of the trailers. They just be sleeping in the motel and the hotel all the time.
Well, I'm interested in that because I'm interested in a 20 or 22-foot travel trailer.
We've got Mr. Thompson. He just bought a new one.
Well, new
29-foot.
New
29-foot. Holiday
Land
one.
That is a
beautiful guy. Well, I'll have to get together with you all and get a trailer.
They got all kinds. Sir.
But once you live in one, whether you have the convenience, you can set your table up and work at night and have your complete privacy, fix your own breakfast, and fix your dinner tonight when you want to. Come and go when you want.
Sounds beautiful.
When you have to go to a motel or hotel.
I'd never thought about that, but I can see where those of you who are always on the road, that's like having a home.
And three of us are in the main hotel. Motel.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice.
Well, that's fine. Let us know now if we're going to be able to help you where we haven't already helped you.
Yes, sir.
Because it isn't...